You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So today I want to talk to you about be ready for tomorrow. Be ready for tomorrow. You know, many years ago, I saw a vision. As I was praying, the Lord showed me a vision of a fire upon and a fire within that was burning. And the fire on the inside started burning brighter and brighter and got bigger and bigger, and the one on the top as well. But at a stage, the fire within started burning through the fire that was upon. I said, Lord, what's the meaning of this? He said, there's two fires upon you. Fire upon is the gift of God. And the gift that you've got, you have to develop it, and that must burn brighter. But the fire within, that's the character of God. And that must also be developed and burn brighter and brighter. Our gifts should flow out of our character. Many of the challenges and the problems that we have today in churches is because people's gifts exceed their character. And if your gift exceeds your character, you're an accident waiting to happen. It's like firing a cannon from a canoe. You can have a big gift like this, but if you don't have the character to bring the stability, what will happen? Gift is immediate. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. But character takes time. Character is not something that's trained. Character is something that's developed. That means sometimes it's tough. Turn to the person next to you and say, character is developed. So God wants to help us to fulfill our destiny and our purpose. He wants us to finish strong. To finish strong, you need character. To be married for 31 years, this year will be 32 years by the grace of God. It's not the gift, the size of the ring on her finger that makes it a happy wedding, although the ring always puts a smile on the face, amen. But it takes character. It takes heart. Years of development to have a happy marriage. It's not just about seeing God's works, the fire upon, but it's learning His ways. According to Isaiah 11 verse 2, spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, to work in us and through us so that we can fulfill our purpose in life. Isn't it amazing to think that you are precious in God's sight? Precious in God's sight. Isaiah 43 says, since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored and I've loved you. So God wants to help us to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill our destiny. This is the year of grace upon grace. So I want to share some things with you today that's going to help you to be ready for tomorrow. Turn to the person next to you and say, be ready for tomorrow. Amen. Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your tremendous grace that you have towards us. Thank you for your word, O Father. Lord, even as I share your word today, let your people hear your voice upon my voice and touch hearts and change hearts and help us to be ready, Lord. What needs to be adjusted, what needs to be changed, what we have to do to be ready, O Lord, so that we can please you and bring much pleasure to you and have fellowship with you. We thank you for that. We bless you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to start by reading Matthew 25 verse 1. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Can I ask the question, is there enough oil in your lamp? Is there enough oil in your lamp? When I read this and I look at this, you see 10 virgins. It's a parable that the Lord is speaking about the kingdom of God. And he's talking about those that are ready to receive him. So it's talking about us here in the church. It says, we are ready. We are doing some right things, keeping ourselves pure. We've got lamps. We're trimming our lamps. We have an expectation for God to come. But he says, half is wise and half is foolish. Half has got enough oil and half does not have the right amount of oil. Think about this. All were prepared. I mean, you've come to church today because you have an expectation to meet with Jesus. We know what we want from God, what we require of God, what we want God to do. Can I see your hand? Am I talking to the right people? You've got some expectations of what you want God to do for you today. But do you know what's God's requirements for you? What God desires of you? God wants our lamps to be full. And how do we get our lamps full? What do I do to make sure that I've got a lamp that's full of oil? Are you ready for this? Turn to the person next to you and say, buckle up. Turn to the person on the other side, say, get ready. So you can get your lamp full of oil. If I look at this and the vision that I saw, I realized the most important thing is not the fire upon, but the fire within. When you look at the lamp, the most important thing is the oil in this lamp. And this is what we need. We need oil in our lamp. It's interesting that the Bible says in the book of Psalms that the Lord's word is a lamp unto my feet. If you want to shape your character and get your character right, you're going to have to spend time in the word of God. You're going to have to read your Bible. If you want to be one of those Christians, it's easy to say I'm a Christian, to have a lamp, to come to church. But we have to make sure that this lamp is full of oil. This is what it's all about. Could it be, as Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, he's praying that Christ would be formed on the inside. That before we say, Lord, anoint me and bless me to do extraordinary things, is to say, Lord, anoint me and help me to have a relationship with you, to walk with you. You know, we are quick to see the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the gifts, the healings, the deliverances. But what's more important is a relationship to learn his ways. Amen? And when I look at this, the more I meditate upon this parable, 10 virgins, all of them fell asleep. All of them had to be woken up. All trimmed their lamps. All was expecting him. All saw him, but only 5 entered in. I say, God, what should we do to be ready? Am I talking to the right people here? This is very challenging. I say, Lord, I want to make sure that as a church, our lamps are full of oil. Let me hear you pray. Say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Touch my heart. Fill my heart with your presence. Shape my character to be ready for every blessing. Can I ask this question? Is your character ready for the blessings that you are asking God? You're asking God for big blessings. Have you got big character on the inside? Have you given Jesus the rightful place on the inside? look at these 10 virgins representing the church, and I'm saying half was ready, half was not ready. Half had wisdom, half was foolish. And can I tell you what's the key? The key here is relationship with Jesus. Not just seeking the gifts, not just seeking the healing, but seeking a relationship with the healer. I was thinking and meditating about a lot of things. Like many people want to go to a wedding just for the party, but not really for the groom and the bride. Turn to the person next to you and say, I know people like that. I think their lamps are empty. Some people's lamps are burning on a Sunday, but Mondays to Saturdays, their lamps are not burning. Is your lamp just burning on a Sunday when you come to church? Or are you making sure that your lamp is burning Mondays to Saturdays? It's not about having a relationship on a Sunday. It's about having a relationship Monday to Saturday and coming together on a Saturday to let our lamps burn and give glory to God. Amen. To let that little light shine for Jesus. You know, can I tell you, these five foolish virgins, they had everything. So when you looked at them from the outside, they had everything. But something was missing on the inside. That Jesus said, I don't know you. I don't know you. There are things sweeter than sweets. Amen? It's Jesus Christ in His presence. How many people will continue with Jesus if He has solved your problems? There's a story in the Bible of 10 people that came for healing. And afterwards, only one came back. And Jesus said, were you not 10? Where's the other 9? Has only one come back to give glory to God? And Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you complete. We need the oil not just for the healing. We need the oil for everyday living. We need the oil to give glory to God. Healing is for the salvation of your soul. Salvation of your soul, you know what that means? God heals you so that you can serve Him better. He delivers you so that you can serve Him better. This is what it's all about. And I've been busy with this whole story thinking about God. If they can miss it, help me that I don't miss it. Can we allow Jesus to take the rightful place in our hearts? Because the more I look at this, I think it's all about the heart. It wasn't something outwardly that was the problem. It was what going on in the inside. Many heads will be nodding in church for healing, but how many hearts are nodding for a relationship? Many are saying, yes, heal me. But how many hearts are saying, yes, be my friend? Maybe this is what's happened here, that they went through everything and they did everything, but they never became a friend of Jesus. We should ask God to anoint us and empower us so that we can walk with Him. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to be a good friend to God. It's not about the deliverance. It's not about the party. Those five also wanted to come in and be a part of the celebrations. It's about the bridegroom. It's about the healer. It's about the deliverer. So if I look at this, it's all about the heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's all about the heart. When you look at these five, there's something that's not right. There's something that's not correct. Something doesn't make sense. Outwardly, everything looked the same. Can you tell me just one thing brought the separation? Turn to the person that you say, this is serious. You know what's the good news? God knows that we are weak when it comes to spiritual things. That's why He's made full provision for us in Jesus Christ. These five thought they were okay because they went with the other five and said, let's go. We're on this journey. The advice that was given was go and buy. There's another part in the Bible in the book of Revelations 3 Jesus is talking about the church, and John is recording it. And he's talking about the Laodiceans, and he says, you know, I have a problem with you. You're not hot and you're not cold. You're lukewarm. Could this be the problem with the five virgins, that they were lukewarm? They didn't make a full commitment? Jesus said, because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. They were not allowed to be part of the celebrations. I want to submit to you, it was possibly that they were lukewarm. Aina. Be hot or be cold, but don't be lukewarm. He says, I counsel you to go buy gold refined in the fire. How do you do that? Buy the time to be in God's presence, because he's the anointed one. That's where you receive that oil, that anointing. Gold refined in the fire, that which is different. To be in our lives so that our lamps can burn. He warns them. He says, you think you are clothed. You think you've got everything. You think you are sorted. But when I look at you, you are not clothed. Clothe yourself with white garments. White garments is the garments for the wedding. Amen. May we all look on the inside and just make sure that we don't think here that we're okay. But let God reveal here to us if we're okay or not. Turn to the person next to you, say, it's all about the heart. Turn to the person on the other side, say, it's all about the heart. Can I tell you something? If it's all about the heart, you're going to have to guard your heart. Sometimes you have to guard your heart against foolish things. Foolish things. You know, the enemy will come and say foolish things to you. Tell you you're not going to make it. Tell you that God doesn't love you. Tell you that you have no purpose. Am I talking to the right people here? Can I tell you something? Young people, listen to me. When you have a thought, and it's a foolish thought, if you don't say it, you've not given birth to it. But many of you say everything you think. And many times the thoughts that come into your mind are foolish thoughts, which is not of God. Because you're reading foolish things, meditating upon foolish things, and then you start to say foolish things. But if you don't say it, you've not given birth to it, and it cannot take control of your life. I hope I've helped some of you. When the devil tells you a foolish thing, you are going under. You say the wisdom, I'm not going under, I'm going over. When the enemy wants to say a foolish thing that you're a tail, you say, I'm not a tail, I'm the head. You hear what I'm saying? Foolish thoughts. Everybody has foolish thoughts. Everybody has negative thoughts. Everybody, even I get them. But you have to replace it immediately with the Word of God. And meditate upon it until that Word takes control of your heart and you believe it with all your heart. That even if there's a storm and the Lord has said, we're going to the other side, you believe the message, I'm going to the other side, even though you see the storm. Because if God has said we're going to the other side, even if that boat is halfway under the water, you're going to the other side. Because his word cannot return back void. But we start to believe foolish things that the devil places in our hearts. Then we think about it. Then you start to say it. Then you start to behave like that. And then it becomes part of your character and who you are. Because you responded and started saying a foolish thought. I'm never going to become anything. Nothing is working out. When you get foolish thoughts like that, you go and you say, no, I've got Jeremiah 29:11 that says, I know the thoughts that God has got towards me. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me a future and to give me a hope. You go to Ephesians 2 verse 10 and you go read there that God has predestined good works for you. And you start seeking out those good works. You go see the gifts that God has placed on the inside of you. And you say, Lord, help me to develop that gift that it can multiply. If it's one gift, you make sure it becomes two. If the Lord has given you two, you make sure it becomes four. If he's given you five, you make sure you multiply them that it can become 10. But God has deposited something on the inside of you as a young person. That's why you have a future. That's why you have a hope. Amen. Yes, give the Lord a hand. So sometimes when foolish things are happening around you and foolish things are being said around you, you have to listen to the spirit of wisdom on the inside and hear what God is saying to you and move in that direction. Amen. Otherwise, those foolish things are going to drain the oil out of you. Have you ever had somebody speak foolish things around you? And you know God has called you and God has spoken to you to do something. And now people come and they speak, and you take it to heart. And it drains you just like that. They can say what they want to. They speak over you. You don't let them speak into you. The word of God is what you receive into your heart with meekness. And when you do that, it is able to save your soul. And that word is a lamp unto your feet. That word will start to burn on the inside and consume everything which is not of God. Amen. The word of God will reveal lukewarmness in your life faster than anything else. So never stop seeking the kingdom of God. Never stop seeking the kingdom of God. Never stop seeking His righteousness. And you'll see what will happen. Can I say something? Many times we spoil tomorrow by the things we are meditating upon today. Many times we spoil tomorrow by the seeds we are planting today. The seeds that you are planting today will shape your future tomorrow. You see my wife becoming more beautiful every day because I plant good seeds every day and tell her she's beautiful and becoming more and more beautiful. Yes. So if you're not happy with what's sitting next to you, go check your confession. Yes. Woman is the glory of man is what the Bible says. Amen. So I tell her you're beautiful. You're still looking good. Thank you for looking good. I tell her that. Amen. I allow Christ to shape my character, and she allows Christ to shape her character so that we can burn brighter and brighter. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I say this? You have to make your relationship with Jesus a priority. If you want your lamp to burn, you have to make the relationship with Jesus Christ a priority. Because Jesus is the Word, who is the lamp. When you spend time with Jesus, the Word of God by itself, by its nature, will deposit faith in your heart that you will have hope for the future. A response from a heart in a relationship with Jesus. I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. It seems very natural, but it has an impact in the spirit. It will affect your destiny. Nobody can declare that Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. Need the help of the Holy Spirit. Many people are saying Jesus is Lord, but if you really want to confess Him, to get God's attention in heaven, you need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if you want to make it for tomorrow, go check what's going on in your heart today. And if this is telling you there's no hope for tomorrow, go get a few scriptures that shows you there's hope for tomorrow. But if you know that Jesus holds your future, who is the one that's gone before us? What is the thing that causes more anxiety in people's hearts than anything else? The future. The future. What did Moses say? He said, Lord, unless you go before me, I'm not entering into the promised land. Who holds your future? Who's waiting for you in the future? Jesus. That's why you can step into tomorrow with confidence. Because as you step into tomorrow, Jesus is waiting there for you. The problem that most of you have, the grace that you have for today, you're not using it for today. You'll have grace tomorrow for tomorrow. But when you worry about tomorrow today, you don't have grace for that. That's why it's become too much for you. The oil that God has given you for today is enough to burn, to let that light shine, to expel all shades of darkness around you. But now you're worrying about tomorrow, the next day, the next day. But the one who holds your future has gone before you. The sign of a Christian is joy on the inside, is peace on the inside. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That oil of gladness is what He has anointed us with. The peace that He gives us is the peace of the Holy Spirit Himself. It's the peace that I give you, it's not the peace of this world. So how do you know when somebody is a Christian? They've got peace. Peace. There can be a storm on the outside. I'm not saying there's no storms on the outside. There's going to be a storm on the outside. But there's peace on the inside. How do you young people go? Peace on the inside. Do you get me? Can be a storm on the outside, but peace on the inside. Amen. Am I helping some of you? When you get your relationship sorted with God, the rest will follow. The rest will follow. It's all about the relationship. Amen. All about the relationship with God. I'm going to close with this. And it really touched my heart. God holds your future. God holds your future. And if you want your lamp to be full of oil, who of you would like to get your lamp full of oil? Who of you would like to get a free refill? Can I tell you how you get a quick refill? Come to church. Come to church. I'm going to show you from Scripture now. Turn to the person next to you, say, you want to keep your lamp full? Come to church. If you want a good tomorrow, you have to include God. You have to include Jesus Christ. You know, in the book of Zechariah, you can go read Zechariah 4, verse 2 to 6. It talks about the lamp, a golden lamp. Actually, it talks about the two olive trees. It talks about the olive oil flowing, being gathered, and it goes into the lamps, and those lamps can burn. It talks about that. Do you know what the lamp represents? The lamp represents church. Church. Revelations 1 verse 12. Let me read. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. This is John having a revelation of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. He says, I saw a golden lampstand, seven of them. And in the midst of these golden lampstands, I'm seeing somebody like the Son of Man, like God, Jesus Himself, moving around these lampstands. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. He is the anointed one. That's why the church is the reservoir of God's power. That's why there must be anointing, there must be fire, there must be light, there must be life in the church where you go to. There must be prophecy, there must be healing, there must be deliverance. There must be a working of the Holy Spirit, otherwise it's just an organization. You're wasting your time. You're going there with your lamp, but you're not getting oil into it. So He says, here's the golden lampstands, and God Himself is moving around. Go to verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So the seven golden lampstands is the seven churches. The seven stars is the seven angels. Talks about the pastors. What does He say about them? It's in His right hand. Can I tell you something? Make sure that your pastor is in the right hand of God. The hand of authority of God. I want to tell you, when the pastor is in the hand, the right hand of God, the Bible says, do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm, because they're in the right hand of God. Amen, 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 amen. It is so, it is so. I'm not going to talk about that anointing. Well, no, that's for another day. But He says, the lampstands that's receiving this oil is the church. So when you come to the church, you are there with this oil. A matter of fact, the lampstands should move closer to Jesus the whole time. As a church, we should be moving closer to Jesus the whole time. I love my church. I love the fire in this church. I love the light in this church. I love it when this fire starts to consume everything which is not of God. The light shines and expels all shades of darkness. Just because we're a church, it doesn't mean that darkness wouldn't come and press against us. But we'll come together because two believers are better than one. And we'll say, let's pray together as the church. That's why corporate prayer is more important than prayer on your own. Can I have an amen, please? I don't need you to agree with me. I've got the word agreeing with me. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, two believers are better than one. Certain things that you've been praying for that's not changing, you need to get to a brother that's full of some oil, a lamp that's burning, and say, let's agree. Because the Bible says, where two of us agree and we let our light shine together, the darkness must go. It must go. So I love my church. I love the light. I love the fire. So as a church, we are getting ready to invite more people to come in. To come in. I don't even want to go there, you know, but the widow that had the containers while they were pouring the oil in the empty vessels, remember, as long as the empty vessels came, the oil was flowing, the oil was flowing, the oil was flowing. So can I tell you something? You want the oil to keep on flowing? Invite empty vessels and bring them to church. And let the oil flow, 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 flow. If you want to make sure that your lamp's going to stay full, invite the empty vessels. It causes the oil to flow. If you want your lamp to burn and to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is coming back for His church. He's coming back for His bride. If you want that oil to flow, reach up, touch the source, reach in, let Him touch your heart, and reach out to those empty vessels. Let them come and let the Lord fill them. Siela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.